This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Another day here at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. Sal Capaccio here, along with Matt Bove, on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. And look, it's great weather here in Indy. I don't know what it's been like in Buffalo all week. A little bit warmer?
Unbelievable today. Today was 40-something. Today was the last couple of days have been 40-something degrees. I can finally see pavement on my driveway. I see grass when I take the dog out. I drove to work this morning with the sunroof open, legitimately.
Wow, I love that. It was 60 here yesterday, by the way.
Ooh, 60, and then yeah. Indy's got all the – I'm having a little bit of combine FOMO, to be honest.
Yeah,
I'm very happy. Dom, my colleague, Dom Tibbetts, Channel 7, deserved to get a chance to cover the combine. He hasn't before, so part of my rationale was like, listen, Dom, you've never done this. Go enjoy it. You've earned the experience. The first couple days, I missed it. I was like, man, the entire NFL world is there. You want to be part of that? But now I'm cool being home.
And you're right. I mean, the entire NFL world really convenes here. This is and people have asked me, like, what's it like? Who's there? And I guess the best way I can describe it is, no matter what industry you're in, there's a convention of some sort, right, that you could go to. I mean, whether you're in the healthcare industry or you're in the plumbing industry or you sell cars or whatever it is. I mean, for most people in some capacity, there's some sort of convention somewhere around the country that you can go to. This is the NFL's convention. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's everybody in the NFL from all. And what's unique about this is, as opposed to like the owners meetings or the Super Bowl, this is all of college meeting all of NFL, right? Mm-hmm. And everywhere you look, it's college people and it's agents and it's scouts from the college personnel department, but it's also the pro personnel department because the agents are here and they're discussing deals. And then it's all the GMs and the head coaches. And then of course it's all the media. And today, I mean, just walking around, Matt, today was the day where for the first few days, local media, Buffalo, right? We descend here and lots of Buffalo local media, and whether you're Cincinnati or Cleveland, whoever, you're here. Today was the day where if you're just draft person, you showed up today because the players started talking. That's why today became a bigger day here at the Combine.
Yeah, for sure. And it's where the framework gets laid. This is where things start to happen. Plans start to come into place. Coaches and front office personnel start to have conversations with players, but then also with agents, right? Like, you always go to these couple restaurants where everybody is at and you see the front office people just having little conversations with other people and other movers and shakers in the league. You put in the back burner and you're like, oh, something to monitor. Who is that person the agent for? Oh, okay. Put in the back burner. Interesting.
Yeah.
See what's going on. Yeah. And a lot of that stuff happens.
No doubt about it. And it's been a great week out here so far. We've talked with Sean McDermott. We've talked with Brandon Bean. And when Matt says that Dom Tibbetts is out here, of course, you can find his work at WKBW TV and channel 7 and, of course, on their website. And, of course, you can hear me on WGR Sports Radio 550 recapping in the morning and in the afternoon. So last night, as we do here in Indy, go out to dinner. I was out with some of the other media and ran into some different people and talked with A couple of people who, I would say it this way, really raved about the Bills special teams hire of Chris Tabor. I mean, like, I thought the Bills had a nice hire because he's an experienced guy and he had a lot of people saying a lot of things. After last night, I mean, I think they hit a home run. People in this league who have competed against him and been around him said, in fact, one person said to me, Sal, I don't know why he was out of the league last year, but he should never be out of this league. He is one of the best at what we do.
Is there a reason why? I mean, does anybody know why he was out of the league?
He was let go as part of the Panthers staff when they made a head coaching change, mm-hmm. I believe is what happened. And maybe just didn't find the right fit. Here, I would give an example on a different scale, probably the same way as Mike Vrabel last year.
I was going to say, yeah.
You know, just yeah. Like, hey, not a fit. And, you know, we'll wait to see what comes along. And then Sean McDermott, you know, grabs him. And what McDermott said the other day, we all know. He said he experience mattered, right? They had Matthew Smiley, they had Heath Farwell. But here's the thing for me, and that's just about the experience, Matt. I think literally going into next year, mm-hmm. this is an area where the Bills will have an actual advantage some weeks instead of just hope they can get by, you know, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's something that could be a difference. And they've got some nice pieces that they can build around. I'm sure Chris Tabor, when he's looking at his options, is like, okay, what do they have? Mm-hmm. I think we could see a change at punter this offseason. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Sam Martin is back, but maybe they are going to allow the front office is going to draft somebody. Like,
you know that they have two punters on the roster right now?
Yeah, because they signed the futures punter at the end of the season. Yes. And then obviously Sam Martin, but I believe Sam Martin is owed some money when we get to the new league year. Mm-hmm. And it's not nothing. So I could see a world where they go into training camp with somebody that they draft and then the person who they signs the futures. Why am I blanking on the guy who they signed?
Kamara,
okay, yeah.
He was first team all SEC in 2020 and 2021, a third team all American in 2020. He does have experience in the NFL kicking for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I think I don't know. I thought he might've went to Canada. That's not the case. So it looks like here, but yeah. So Jake Kamara is on the Bills roster as a punter they signed.
Yeah. So, I mean, Chris Tabor is probably looking at, okay, that he's looking at Sam Martin just to see whatever happens. Obviously, Tyler Bass, but then also probably Brandon Codrington a little bit too, of like, okay, hey, this guy flashed. Maybe we've got something
sure.
Like a really solid returner. And I'm sure that played probably a factor. Reed Ferguson, I know he's a free agent, but I'm going to be a betting man and say Reed Ferguson will be back next year. So those are probably the pieces he looked at. And maybe he thinks that there's more there. Maybe he feels like there's untapped potential in some of those areas, and he's going to try and get the most out of it.
For sure. All right. So the other special teams piece I wanted to bring up is more league wide. Also talking with people last night on the heels of Chris Tabor is, Matt, I will tell you, there is a very strong sentiment coming out of here in Indy, the people I spoke to, that it is very, very possible the kickoff touchback gets moved to the 35-yard line.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to happen.
I hate it.
But it's on the table, and it's something that's not going away anytime soon.
Yeah, because, I mean, theoretically, I say I hate it. I hate it because it's going to force teams to kick it short and return it. Like, that's basically what the league is trying to do. Listen, we don't want you just kicking it out of the back of the end zone. But I do think situationally there are times when it makes more sense from just a risk mitigation standpoint. I get it. It's making the play matter more. I understand that. But just with the way that the game is officiated, there are so many stupid ticky-tack penalties that I feel like this is actually going to have like a counter effect on it, because you're going to get more returns, but you're going to get more illegal blocks in the back or weird holding calls or whatever it is. And all of a sudden we're going to see people pinned back further than they would be if they just kicked it out of the end zone and everybody started at the 30 every single time. And the counterpoint to that would be, well, then get rid of the kickoff. We don't need the kickoff. And I'm probably closer to that side than I am to the other side.
35 is tough, man. I agree with you. That's
unbelievable. Like, starting at the 35, you would take that every drive.
You literally need two first downs for guys like Brandon Aubrey to be able to kick a field goal.
Yep.
I mean, it's a pretty big, hefty penalty if you kick it into the end zone. If this happens, we don't know if it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And from what I was told, there was a meeting last night. We're talking here, by the way, anybody watching us at Sal Sports on YouTube or listening to us on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, we're talking here on a Wednesday. Excuse me, on Tuesday night, there was a meeting with all 32 special teams coordinators because the league wants to get their input. What do you guys think? What do you want? Like, what do you think about all these changes? And there are people who are younger special teams coordinators, I'd say, who, from what I was told, are like, hey, tell me what you want me to do, right? Because, hey, this is their job. They're trying to, they're in this league. There's some older special teams coordinators, been around a long time, who are very staunchly against it or even for it and get really upset and want this or want that. And this is something the league is obviously trying to, A, keep the play in, but B, mitigate injury. What happened was last year is it's they did get more kickoff returns, but they still didn't get enough kickoff returns and they want more.
Yeah, no, I understand it. I understand they want it to be part of the game. I understand even you listen to Sean McDermott talk as somebody on the competition committee and the importance of the play and how it matters and how they don't want to take that out of the game. And I understand all of those points, but I do feel like it's a multi-layered conversation that's not as simple as just, okay, we'll make touchbacks to the 35. I feel like in that instance, they've already made such drastic changes 5 years ago. I don't think we ever would have thought it got to this point. I feel like you need to let those changes marinate a little bit more than they have.
Can I tell you something? Let me stop you there. It's a great point that you just made, because I will tell you that was a sentiment that came out of that room from what I was told, which is there are people who said, why are we making such drastic changes so rapidly? Can we not just let kind of things go a little bit and then we'll see where it goes to and make them more incremental?
That's what I think. I mean, they just implemented this last year. Yeah. I remember being at the NFL owners meetings talking with you. We were doing the podcast out on the patio into the sun. It was beautiful outside. And we're talking about how this was happening, how the change was being made, and we didn't know how it was going to impact the game. That was less than a year ago. You have one season of evidence and data right now. Let this go a couple years. If you feel like you have to make a drastic change, but what casual fan or even what diehard fan is coming out of the last NFL season and saying like, man, I think we got to punish kickers for not for kicking it into the end zone. I feel like it's a little bit too easy. I don't get that sense.
All right. And just on a side note on that, I wouldn't be surprised if there's also some stuff again about onside kicks this year that come out at the owners' meetings, you get put on the table. I know that was widely discussed in this special teams coordinators meeting last night. Another rule that Sean McDermott touched on, the tush push. And what's really interesting to me here is McDermott is in charge of a team that is great at it. And other than the Eagles, the Bills are the best at this in the league and they use it a lot. And they're a team that, hey, if you're going to ban it, it's going to hurt them. But yet Sean McDermott actually doesn't like the play. And he said he doesn't like to play that much. And I think that's interesting that he's separating himself as the Bills head coach, where it's very beneficial for him, to competition committee Sean McDermott, where I'm trying to be a steward of the game and look out for the long term, and I don't love it. I don't know where this goes. I did ask Andy Reid about it yesterday. I said, your team was great at stopping it. What do you think about the play? He didn't say he was against it. He's like, it's a great play. It's tough to stop. Very interesting.
I mean, the way you stop the tush push is not getting yourself into that position in the first place to have to stop the tush push. Mm-hmm. I think it's commendable from Sean McDermott to be going out and saying vocally that he doesn't love the play, even though it's a play that his team has success with. You could make the argument maybe it's a bit hypocritical of like, well, if you don't love the play, why are you doing it? The answer there would be because it's effective and we're really, really good at it. And as a football coach of the Buffalo Bills, my job is to have as much success as possible. But as a member of the competition committee, I am trying to protect the integrity of the game, grow the game, and keep everybody as safe as possible. So I think that's commendable. I also think him saying that has no bearing on what will happen next year, assuming all things stay the same. If the play does not get banned, the Bills are still going to be running quarterback sneaks on 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1 or whatever it is, and they're still going to probably be pretty good at it.
And what Sean said is right, which is there's an injury risk there. It doesn't, you know, he says don't love the way it looks. That's what a lot of the complaints are, or the anti, you know, tush push people say. The injury risk thing is interesting because what the reasoning is that it's not going to be banned. I'm telling you right now, I don't think it's going to be banned this year. They're still not. It's because they don't actually have injury data that supports the injury part. And the league has said kind of like, hey, you can't just do it because you think there's going to be injuries. You actually have to do it because there are injuries and there's not enough data to support that's being the case, which is why we're probably going to still have the tush push as part of a play.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a very similar outlook going into the next season as we did this past season. I feel like the special teams rules are going to stay the same. The tush push rules are going to stay the same just because on both of them, the sample size isn't big enough. The tush push is a bigger sample size because we've seen it for the last several seasons than it is with the potentially moving the touchbacks to the 35-yard line. I just am kind of in the mindset of like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. The tush push might be getting in that direction, but I don't think it's fully there yet. And special teams, I really firmly don't think that there needs to be any change. I personally don't hate the tush push. I understand it's weird and it's different and it's maybe not even more football. It's more rugby than it is football. But I just think that, I don't know, it's inconsequential. There's not really been times when I've watched the Eagles play and been like, man, this is cheating. Got to figure out how to stop it.
Nick Sirianni, of course, agrees with you. He was asked about it, and he's like, he said he's
family.
What was his
family.
Word? Like, I'm insulted or something. Yeah, there you go.
Makes sense. Makes sense. We feel the same.
Nick Sirianni, by the way, asked by our colleagues. One of them, I don't remember who asked him. Andy Young or John Scott? They're both standing there, and I couldn't tell who asked him, but asked him about, you know, Jamestown, his pride for his hometown, and had a really great response. So if you have a chance, go look up Nick Sirianni talking about Jamestown at Southwestern High School and how it shaped him to be the man he is and the coach he is and all that. So very cool on that front. All right, speaking of around the league, some storylines emerging here. And the more people I talk to, I could tell you that it feels to me like the Pittsburgh Steelers are not going to be in the Matthew Stafford sweepstakes, if you will, if he actually becomes available. And they could be leaning towards Justin Fields, but does Justin Fields want to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Yeah. That's the question. And if he decides, hey, I got a better offer somewhere else, then maybe the Steelers go crawling back to Russell Wilson, where they don't really want to be in the Russell Wilson business anymore, which is really interesting. Just your thoughts on their situation and how that might play out.
Did you see my post on X yesterday? You probably didn't. You were busy. It was about how the Falcons said that they're moving forward with Kirk Cousins as their backup quarterback, which I think is a joke. I quoted that and said he is going to end up playing for the Steelers. Ooh, they're going to be pretty good for most of the season. They're going to start to slip up in December and lose in the wild card round because it's the exact same thing every year. It's a veteran quarterback or some sort of unproven question quarterback. Here's how it goes, and then it doesn't end up working out. I think Matthew Stafford, to me, doesn't the Giants just make so much sense?
It does, which gets me to my next spot, my next thing to tell you, which is that's the other thing I keep hearing is the Giants really want to get in on Matt Stafford.
Well, didn't
now, they Chad, did Chad, they did hire get, Chad Hall. Chad Hall, I mean,
it's a no-brainer.
Maybe. I mean, I think that sometimes I think the other way, which is, well, do you really want to go and be the quarterback where your brother-in-law is the wide receivers coach? I don't know. Chad Hall is married to Matthew Stafford's sister, in case anybody doesn't know that. Yeah. He was just recently hired by the New York Giants to be on their staff. And that makes sense because Brian Daboll worked with Chad Hall here in Buffalo. So they know each other very well. And so did Joe Shane. So all of that makes sense. But the quarterback piece of it also makes sense because, A, Joe Shane said something yesterday that it blew me away when he said it, but it's right. He said the only quarterback in our roster right now is Tommy DeVito. Mm-hmm. The Bills have four, including Josh Allen. They have one. His name is Tommy DeVito. The second thing about this is the other thing Joe Shane said, or I should say didn't say, was talk about the future at the quarterback. He talked a lot about the present at the quarterback and winning. And we all know he has a lot of pressure to win. That makes the most sense. But but do they get him and do the Rams actually move him?
I don't understand if you're the Rams or if you're Matthew Stafford, why you would not want this to work. It doesn't make sense to me. The Rams were up play or two away from potentially beating the Eagles in the divisional round and then going to the NFC championship.
I agree with you. Like, what is the deal there? What do we know? Why?
I think that they're probably operating under the, they won a Super Bowl, right? Like, I'm not breaking any news here. They got the job done. Maybe they're thinking it's better to start this over now than wait another year. It's the Bill Belichick thing. Better to go get rid of somebody a year too early than a year too late. Maybe they feel like the decline is about to happen. Maybe they want to reload the pantry and get as many assets as possible and build for the future. So I just, if I'm Matthew Stafford, you get to live in LA. You've got a pretty good team surrounding you there. I don't know what's going to happen with Cooper Kupp, but is that enough to make you not want to be there if they get rid of him? Like, Puka Nacua is a good player. Right. Kyron Williams is a good player. They got a good young defense of talented players on that side of the ball. Feels like that's his best bet. I mean, there's a lot of unknowns if you go to New York.
I think it happened after you and I did the pod yesterday that the Chiefs GM, Brett Veach, indicated that Travis Kelce will be coming back for a final year. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, he made it seem like it's going to happen, but it wasn't a slam dunk. It saw NFL Network kind of running with it as like, it's happening. He's coming back. That was kind of the language that they were using. Mm-hmm. So maybe it is definitely happening. I'm not surprised. I never really thought that it was legitimate that he was going to stop right now. Even though he's taken a step back, I still think he's a pretty good player. And when you've got Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback, like you – realistic. I mean, they've been to the AFC Championship, what, every year since 2018 or
seven straight?
So, like, pretty good bet you're going to be playing for an AFC Championship or a Super Bowl. Probably don't want to leave that.
No, I agree. It's it feels like I guess what I'll say is, even if he comes back, mm-hmm. is he really that? He's not the same player anymore, right? And like how threatening is he, and how much more threatening does he make a Chiefs offense? At times he was really great last year, but mm-hmm. those times weren't a ton.
I don't disagree with you. I don't think he's nearly the player he was a few years ago, but they haven't needed him to be that guy for several years. I mean, it's their defense is so good, and the offense has just made big plays in big moments. And I do think that like having a guy who you know can make those big plays occasionally is super helpful. I mean, if he's your third or fourth out, we have no idea what's going to happen with Rashee Rice as far as suspensions are concerned or whatever his availability is. But I think they probably are pretty happy with Xavier Worthy. And then if you also have Travis Kelce, you've got some other good tight ends in the mix. They've said that they want to keep Hollywood Brown. Like all of a sudden you're going from a team that didn't have a ton of weapons to a team that's got some really nice pieces on that offensive side of the ball.
All right, a team in the Bills division also needs to figure out quarterback is the Jets. The only quarterback on their roster is Tyrod Taylor right now. We heard from Aaron Glenn yesterday. And
I think he's going to be the guy. I really do.
Fascinating, I really do. Isn't it?
I think that they roll with him because they probably are going to do what the Bills tried to do, which is funny that it's Tyrod Taylor again.
Right.
But get their new GM in place, decide what they want to do at quarterback, and then aggressively pursue that person next year, not necessarily this year. Unless one of the guys falls to them. Mm. I just don't know if that makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, they're picking pretty high. If you look exactly what number, are they seven? Is it seven? Are they 10? They're somewhere in there.
Yeah, they're okay. Seven.
And yeah, they could get one of those. I'm not convinced in this quarterback class. I think Cam Ward, to me, might be the best guy. And I'm giving Shorter Sanders a definite chance. I think he can be a very good NFL quarterback. I don't think any of these guys is going to happen overnight. It might be a bit of a build here, which is totally fine. It is interesting to me because Aaron Glenn, after listening to him speak, Matt, he is a culture changer. Like, they needed a guy like that. Question is, can he overcome ownership, right? And what that situation is like in New York. But right now, they're going to be quarterback hunting once again in New York. Another team that it's going to be probably quarterback hunting is the Cleveland Browns. And obviously, it's not going to be Deshaun Watson. He had torn Achilles again. We know that. I mean, what do they do? Do they look for a quarterback early in this draft? Do they start it all over? There's a lot of people. There's a big sentiment, and this goes to the Myles Garrett conversation too. There's a big sentiment here from a lot of people from Cleveland media who think they kind of just need to tear it all down again and start over. But some people think, no, go out and get a Matt Stafford. Go out and get somebody. Bring in Sam Darnold. Bring in Kirk Cousins. That's how you bring Myles Garrett back, and then you can compete.
Well, if I was the Cleveland Browns, I would draft a quarterback with that early pick, and I would move Myles Garrett because then you get the extra assets, and you can actually surround your young quarterback with they need to do that. Because Deshaun Watson is making so much money, they need a quarterback under a cost-controlled contract for the next couple of years. That's the thing that they should do to make the most sense. In their head, maybe they just won't get over the fact that they want to try and win right now. That just seems poor. That just seems like a bad idea to me. I wouldn't do that. Like, I could see them going and signing Kirk Cousins and being like, oh, yeah, we're going to try and compete this year. You got the second overall pick. The hope is that you don't have the second overall pick anytime soon. You draft the quarterback. That offsets the ridiculous amount of money that you're paying Deshaun Watson. Eventually, you move on from him. And if you trade Myles Garrett, you recoup probably multiple first-round picks to go either solidify your line or maybe go get some playmakers that aren't Jerry Jeudy for him.
Just watching these guys run the 40. You can hear them. Running right by me here. You can hear them.
You think you could run a 4.5? No, you want to run.
No, I didn't say that. I said I can want to run my age. Last year I was close. Five. Without training or trying or practicing last year at training camp at Bill's John Fisher on the final day, I think I ran a 5.4 with Matt Parrino, and that was without doing any of that. So I'm 51. I'll be 52. My goal would be a 5.2 this year.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think that that's crazy. I mean, you can move. I've seen you go a couple times.
Here we go. Watch. Here we go. These guys are moving, man. These are big guys, and they're all moving out here. They're all the 40-yard dash time, and that's going to be coming up.
Got to get your stopwatch there.
Yeah, I know. I got to figure that out. All right.
Stopwatch.
One of the big news items coming out of the NFL scouting combine this week is the Bengals general manager saying they are prepared to make Jamar Chase the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. I'm not here to tell you Jamar Chase doesn't deserve that. He is amazing. What I am here to tell you is I'm pretty surprised the Bengals are putting that out there, because now you got to do that. You can't say that and not do that.
It really sounds like they want to bring them all back. They want to bring back all of their big high-priced free agents. Jamar Chase isn't a free agent. And I totally agree with that. But then you're going to have to be really smart and selective and hit on your other draft picks and stuff to make sure that you can get over the, like, they weren't a good team last year. They were a very good offense, but a very bad defense. If you just give all of that money to those three guys, how is your team going to be much different next year? But it doesn't seem like they're entertaining anything else. I feel like all three are going to be back.
Yeah, I mean, the T. Higgins one is interesting to me. I mean, I think you could talk about that all you want, but if you're going to pay Jamar that much, how much do you want to tie up into your wide receiver room, as good as T. Higgins is? I think that at the end of the day, I don't know if you can make all of that work. I would say, though, give credit to Joe Burrow. He's one of the ones – he's been kind of tweaking it, right? Like, hey, you got to make this happen. I'm Joe Burrow, and I'm telling you, like, if you want me to stay here the rest of my career, you need to make this happen. I mean, he hasn't said it that way, but it feels like he's saying that.
Yeah. I mean, you're right, though. If they give Jamar Chase $40 million and then they give T. Higgins high $20 million range, and then the other guys you've got in the room, I mean, you're talking about $75 million dedicated to the wide receiver position, which is just bananas when you think about they're also paying Joe Burrow a ton of money. I mean, you would be talking about, essentially like not quite 50%, but almost of just those three players on offense.
All right. So two Bills related items before we head on out of here on this edition of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. Number one, Jason Peters has announced his retirement.
Yes.
After what? Yes. 41 years old, right? I think 41. Amazing.
Good for him.
And you know, it's funny. I was thinking, like, he's the next former Bill to go into the Hall of Fame, I think, right? He's going in 5 years. Is there another former Bill? Maybe. But every time I look at the list, there's nobody that's really, except for Steve. We know Steve Tasker could do it. And if that happens, it's through the senior committee. So I don't want to disrespect that or discount that. And we all want Steve Tasker to get in. But aside from that, I think Jason Peters could be the next former Bill to get in, unless there's somebody over the next couple of years, or last few years, that's retired that played with the Bills for a cup of coffee that I'm forgetting.
Is Marshawn Lynch in yet?
He's not.
Well, Marshawn Lynch will be in the Hall of Fame.
Would he get in before Jason Peters? Is he a first ballot?
He's been retired for a couple of years.
Okay, well, actually, I shouldn't say I do have one. Frank Gore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Is Frank Gore definitely a Hall of Famer?
Oh, I it's one of my pet peeves when people say he's not. I just think, come on, at that position, I don't care if he's a compiler. He might be. He was a compiler for more years than anybody could be a compiler at that position. Like, he was really good. He might not have been the greatest. I understand why people say he was never the best in the league in any one year, but I do think he's in. I don't know if he's in the first ballot, but he's probably a guy. But hey, how about Jason Peters? I mean, when he goes into the Hall of Fame, as bad as it ended in Buffalo, we know that, he goes in as a former Buffalo Bill where he started his career, and Mouse McNally had as much to do with Jason Peters' career. Our buddy Jim McNally in Buffalo, who's still tweeting videos at the age of like 80, he's incredible. These old line videos that he does. And, you know, he brought Jason Peters along and helped him become what he is.
Yeah, for sure. Marshawn Lynch was a finalist to get into the Hall of Fame this year, but did not get in.
Okay.
So he is eligible now. I would imagine, to your point, if he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, probably picks up some momentum in the next couple of years. I just think that he'll probably get in. So he might be the guy that's the closest to getting in. But yeah, Jason Peters, incredible. Why did that refresh my memory? Because this was definitely before I covered the team. Why did that not work? Why
Jason
did he
Peters leave? Came into the league as an undrafted free agent tight end, right? Hold on.
I knew all that.
Okay. But that's why, because they moved him to tackle.
No, why didn't it end up working? And I know he got a contract extension. Why did they end up trading him to the Eagles? What went wrong?
Well, I was getting to it, because after moving him to tackle, he wanted to be paid tackle money of the top tackles, and they couldn't get a contract done. And they basically, like, right after they moved him, and then he solidifies himself. He wanted to be paid top tackle money, and the Bills are like, we're not doing that. Like, whatever the situation was in the contract at the time, they didn't want to pay him that kind of money, and it became a stalemate, and they ultimately traded him.
Okay, interesting. They got something. Did they get a first for him, for Jason Peters?
I believe they did. Was that the year they drafted both Eric Wood and Andy Levitre?
Sounds right. Makes sense.
I think it might have been. I have to go back and look at that.
I'm going to look it up.
I think they did get a first-round pick for him. And I think that might have been – yeah.
Yeah, the Bills traded him to the Eagles, where he signed a six-year, $60 million contract.
Okay. Well, find it real quick. Was it a first-round pick? Because I got one thing left I want to bring up to you.
The Bills received the 28th overall pick in that draft, a fourth-rounder in next weekend's draft, and a sixth-rounder in 2010. Jason Peters is the best left tackle in football, Eagles coach Andy Reid said after the trade.
Oh, yeah. He was absolutely great. Okay, I'm going to leave you with this. You're going to be very excited when I tell you this, okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay. There are rumblings here at the Combine, mostly among people, our media circle, people we talk to, but a lot of people who believe there is a possibility the Bills are going to Ireland to play the Steelers.
Gosh, I'm equally thrilled and at the same time just thinking about
now
life.
I want to be clear with everybody on this, okay?
Rumors.
I was told this from someone who I trust that usually gets information, but not always correct necessarily. Okay. A couple of weeks ago. And I've kind of dismissed it like, no, I've heard the Packers. Mm-hmm. We've all heard the Packers, but there are people here who I've talked to said, no, I think it could be the Bills. I don't know. And I don't know. And yeah, we know Mike North, right? We have him on the podcast. I know Mike North. I haven't asked Mike North and he wouldn't tell me if I asked him right now anyway. And he might say it's still to be determined. I did read an article in the Buffalo News, which was, I had no idea. I read this article. And it said that apparently a bunch of New York lawmakers wrote a letter to Roger Goodell saying we want the Bills to be in Ireland because of the Irish population in Buffalo and how it would resonate.
So I'm
just telling people, I'm putting it on your radar, everyone. Do not think Sal Capaccio is reporting it. I'm not. I'm just telling you, here at the Combine, I've talked to enough people that it would not surprise me if the Bills are headed to Ireland to play the Steelers next year. We know the Steelers are playing there as the home team. Uh-huh. And Matt, it would make sense if you want to go, if you're going to go play a game in Ireland for the first time ever. And you have a team that you don't know who the Steelers quarterback is.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put Josh Allen, the league MVP, over there then as the anchor team and player.
I should have had a better reaction to that. I groaned a little bit of like,
you did. I was surprised.
I've never been to Ireland. I would love to go. It is very high on my list of places that I want to go to. I was thinking about it more from a childcare standpoint of, how am I going to find somebody to watch my daughter? That would be something that I have to figure out. It'd be incredible.
I got to show you something real quick. Here we go. There's good. Yeah. Here we go. Hold on. Let's come right down. Oh, man, it didn't come all the way down there. I wanted to get a guy coming right by us, right by our table right here. I couldn't get that. But, I understand what you're talking
about. It would be amazing. It would be so, so, so cool because Ireland would be incredible. What an amazing, beautiful place to try and visit one day. I think that would be cooler than London. I think that would be more exciting than London just because they had already been to London, and Ireland would be a new place for a lot of people. Think about how many people. You're from Buffalo. I'm from Buffalo. I'm from a part of Buffalo where I'm from Wheatfield. Basically, my mom was from Niagara Falls. My dad was from the South Towns. Niagara Falls, a lot of Italian people, right? I'm Italian. You're Italian. But think about how many Irish people we know and all of the last names of people that we grew up with in some capacity of like, oh, yeah, Irish, Irish, Irish. People would make a pilgrimage out to Ireland to see the Buffalo Bills if they were in Ireland.
Well, let's keep that on the radar, and obviously we have something to discuss with Mike North, and we have him on the pod coming up in a couple months. We'll probably know before then. They usually leak out those international games. Maybe we'll find out the week that we are at the owners' meetings in March coming up next month, and that would be a really interesting pod. But I do think still right now, as I think about it, that it would be – it's still the Packers to me is the team that's most likely. So we're going to see here. I think we might have another guy going here as we wrap up the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. All right, Matt, so getting back on a plane to Buffalo tomorrow afternoon. I'll be back, and then we can get really heavy into the into what's going on. Here we go.
I'm faster than that.
That was pretty cool.
I'm faster than that.
That was pretty cool. I love that.
All right. All right, buddy. Safe travels back to Buffalo.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll have more next week. We'll talk more about free agency and what the Bills have going on. Follow Matt, of course, at Matt_Bove and WKBW TV. Follow me at
Sports
and WGR. And of course, thanks to Mike Robbie. And of course, you can.
Can I say, okay. So I hate being this person, but I'm going to be this person because we just started an Instagram page for Channel 7 that is going to be specifically related towards Bills content. leading the charge underscore Buffalo.
Okay.
I have set an unrealistic goal in my head to try and be at 1,000 followers by the NFL draft. Okay. So that's going to be where we post a lot of Bills content. Still going to be on X and on YouTube and all the places where it was before. But I wanted one dedicated place because we have so much of it. So that'd be cool if anybody wanted to go follow it.
You got it. Go follow him. Leading the charge
underscore Buffalo.
I got it. All right. Thanks a lot for tuning in. It's always Game Day in Buffalo. We'll talk to you next time.